The Bible is clear that in the latter days, all nations will turn against Jerusalem. Joel tells us, "For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered amongst the nations and parted my land." Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. The time period of the scattering of nations was placed by the prophet Joel after the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem returned. Well, Judah and Jerusalem are what the world refers to as the occupied territories or the West Bank. This area is referred to by the Bible and the Jews as Judea or Judah and Samaria. These areas were brought back under Israeli control in 1967 following the Six-Day War. Well, Ezekiel pinpoints the location of the contention when the Gogian forces come down. In chapter 38, verse 8, "After many days that shall be visited, in the latter years that shall come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people, against the mountains of Israel, which have always been waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them." And again, the prophet Zechariah also speaks of the gathering of the nations in chapter 14, verses 1 to 2. "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city." And finally, the book of Revelation describes this as the Battle of Armageddon in chapter 16, verse 16, where we read, "He gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." But what we are seeing in the world today is a spirit that is uniting the nations of the world against the people of God, against Israel. There are now a total of 159 UN member nation states that have recognized a state of Palestine. And in addition to this, it should be remembered that the Catholic Church recognized the state of Palestine way back in 2015, as the Pope affirmed in a press conference on Tuesday, where he stated, "The Holy See has supported the two-state solution for many years." The Pope recalled, pointing out that the Vatican formally recognized Palestine in 2015 with the signing of the Comprehensive Agreement. "The Holy See recognized the two-state solution some time ago. That is clear. We must seek a path that respects all peoples." Asked whether broader international recognition of Palestine might help, he said it could help, but right now there is no real willingness to listen on the part of the other side. Dialogue is broken. Well, the other side he's referring to is Israel, and again, like many, he puts the blame squarely on Israel. Well, there has been a rash of recognitions of Palestine over the past week. On Sunday, Canada's Prime Minister Mark Carney was the first to put out a statement unilaterally recognizing Palestine. In his speech in the UN on Monday, Carney stated the following.
"Since 1947, it has been the policy of every Canadian government to support a two-state solution for lasting peace in the Middle East. This position envisioned the creation of a sovereign, democratic, and viable state of Palestine, building its future in peace and security alongside the state of Israel. Over many decades, Canada's commitment to this goal was premised on the expectation that this outcome would be eventually achieved as part of a negotiated settlement. Regrettably, this possibility has been steadily and gravely eroded, including by the pervasive threat of Hamas terrorism to Israel and its people, culminating in the heinous attack of October 7th.
However, he laid the blame at Israel's feet for the failure of the peace process, stating,
"The accelerated building of settlements across the West Bank and East Jerusalem and the soaring settler violence against Palestinians. Actions such as the E1 settlement plan and the Israeli government's contribution to the humanitarian disaster in Gaza."
Remember the issue Joel pointed out? The return of the Jews to Jerusalem and Judea would be what would bring the nations down to Jerusalem to battle. Now listen to what he has to say next.
The current Israeli government is working methodically to prevent the prospect of a Palestinian state from ever being established. Il poursuit sans relâche l'expansion.
And tirelessly continues settlement expansion in the West Bank. That is illegal under international law. Its constant aggression against Gaza has claimed the lives of tens of thousands of civilians. It has compelled the displacement of more than 2 million people and caused a devastating famine. Another violation of international law.
The policy of the current Israeli government that there will be, and I quote, no Palestinian state.
Again, the issue is settling Judea. Exactly what the Bible predicted, what would be the spark? He continued.
In this context, Canada recognizes the state of Palestine. And we offer our full partnership in building the promise of a peaceful future for both the state of Palestine and the state of Israel.
Reaction in Canada came swiftly. Ben Mulroney, son of the late Canadian Prime Minister Brian Mulroney, has a radio show in Canada. And following Sunday's announcement, he stated the following.
We're waking up to a new week where Canada has recognized a new colleague in the community of nations, and that is the nation of Palestine. Mark Carney started saying that this was going to happen on August 1st when let's listen to Mark Carney himself, our prime minister, on August 1st, when he laid out what he said were preconditions to the recognition of a Palestinian state.
This intention is predicated on the Palestinian Authority's commitment to much needed reforms. Hamas must immediately release all hostages taken in the horrific terrorist attack of October 7th, that Hamas must disarm, and that Hamas must play no role in the future governance of Palestine.
Preconditions. I don't know much, but I know that a precondition is a condition that needs to be satisfied prior to what he just said. So you got to do those three things, Hamas. You have to release all the hostages. You have to disarm, and you have zero role to play in the governance of Gaza and the Palestinian state writ large. I ask in good faith, have any of those preconditions been met? And the answer is sadly no. And yet we have recognized a Palestinian state. Why? I don't know. I genuinely do not know.
Mulroney went on to state.
In my entire life, I have disagreed vociferously with a number of Canadian government policies. I have never felt so disconnected from a policy that I would literally say, this government does not speak for me. You do not speak for me. This is not what I stand for. This is not a Canada that I recognize.
He also brought up the first thing Abbas did to Britain after it recognized Palestine.
And let's look at the knock-on effects, the immediate knock-on effects. Our good friend Keir Starmer, everyone's favorite useful idiot in the UK, who was leading this charge and also recognized the Palestinian state. After the recognition of Palestinian statehood, Mahmoud Abbas, the head of the Palestinian Authority, is demanding £2 trillion in reparations from the UK. That is $3.7 trillion. He claims Britain owes compensation, quote, in accordance with international law for the land it controlled from 1917 to 1948. What have I said before? When it comes to certain people on that side of the equation, everything will never be enough. Everything will never be enough. You just recognize Palestinian statehood. And the first thing that Mahmoud Abbas does, he doesn't subscribe to a single precondition. He doesn't reorganize. He doesn't get rid of the terrorists within his organization. What's the first thing he does? Demands payment of £2 trillion. Everything will never be enough.
Mulroney also pointed out what Hamas had to say about this.
What did Hamas do? What did senior Hamas official Ghazi Hamad say about this. He said the fruits of October 7 are what caused the entire world to open its eyes on the Palestinian issue. Those, Keir Starmer said, this was not a reward for terrorism. Well, you got the terrorist himself who says this is a reward for terrorism. I don't often take terrorists at their word. I took him at his word right here.
And what did Hamas do to demonstrate any good faith? Well, he finished with this.
And the last thing that we will talk about before we go to break is, so you got the terrorists saying that this was a reward for being terrorists. In the streets of Gaza, just hours after recognition of statehood, when they were told preconditions that did not have to be met of putting down their arms, what did Hamas terrorists do in the streets of Gaza? On video for the world to see on social media, they executed three people on the streets. It's up on social media for you to see, because they claimed that these people were working as collaborators with Israel. Shot them in the heads. These guys are gunning to be ambassadors to Canada. Maybe one of these guys might be ambassador one day. And this is shameful. It is boneheaded. It is short-sighted. And it's a failure of our democratic values, as well as a longstanding 70-year relationship with Israel.
Well, Britain followed suit shortly thereafter, with Prime Minister Keir Starmer unilaterally recognizing Palestine as well. After rambling on for some time, he put the blame squarely at the feet of Israel for the failure of the peace process in the Middle East.
Meanwhile, the man-made humanitarian crisis in Gaza reaches new depths. The Israeli government's relentless and increasing bombardment of Gaza, the offensive of recent weeks, the starvation and devastation are utterly intolerable. Tens of thousands have been killed, including thousands as they tried to collect food and water. This death and destruction horrifies all of us. It must end with the actions of Hamas, the Israeli government escalating the conflict, and settlement building being accelerated in the West Bank. The hope of a two-state solution is fading. But we cannot let that light go out.
Again, you can see the issue. Israel is squarely blamed for the failure of the peace process, and it is building in the West Bank, on the mountains of Israel, in Jerusalem and Judea. He finished with recognition.
So today, to revive the hope of peace and a two-state solution, I state clearly, as Prime Minister of this great country, that the United Kingdom formally recognizes the state of Palestine. We recognized the state of Israel more than 75 years ago as a homeland for the Jewish people. Today, we join over 150 countries who recognize a Palestinian state also. A pledge to the Palestinian and Israeli people that there can be a better future.
Like Canada, this decision was made unilaterally, without discussion in the democratically elected parliament. Kickback to this unilateral move immediately reverberated through Britain. Nigel Farage, leader of the British Reform Party, weighed in on the discussion of Britain recognizing Palestine in an interview following Starmer's statement.
How do you recognize a state if you can't even identify what its geographical boundaries are? And how can you recognize a state when the governing force within it, namely Hamas, is intent on the destruction and death of a country and its people? It is simply a monstrous thing to do. Now, you can criticize Netanyahu, you can criticize Israel, you can do all of those things, but to recognize something that has no actual entity and is in effect run by terrorists, it rewards the abominations of the 7th of October a couple of years ago, and it does nothing to give peace in the Middle East, and it puts the hostages in an even more dangerous position. So I cannot, for the life of me, understand why Starmer's done it, other than He's frightened of the left in British politics. He's frightened particularly of those communities that have come into our country in the last few decades and who view the world very differently.
Reporter Melanie Phillips, in a video interview, reflected on the logic of the decision of the British government.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is completely nonsensical. This state doesn't exist just because a number of countries, including apparently the United Kingdom government, wants it to exist, doesn't mean it becomes in existence. Certain conditions have to be met in terms of international law. They have not been met. Anybody with half a brain can see this thing doesn't exist. And the hapless Lammy, to whom you've just referred on that very interview with Trevor Phillips, made a complete idiot of himself because he actually admitted that just recognizing a state of Palestine, he said, of course it doesn't bring it into existence. Well, if it's not in existence, then what are they recognizing?
Well, quite.
No, they're recognizing an idea. They're recognizing a wish. I mean, the whole thing is would be farcical, would be comical, were it not so serious. Mm. It is, as your reader, as your viewers have just said, a reward for terrorism.
Yes.
Hamas has actually said, thank you. It has said, this is the fruits of October 7. Can you believe this? Mm. That Britain's Labour government under Sir Keir Starmer has delivered to Hamas a reward for the most barbaric and biggest single atrocity against the Jewish people since the Holocaust. What an appalling disgrace for a British Prime Minister. I think that Starmer himself, you know, he's obsessed by what he calls the two-state solution, which involves a state of Palestine being created. And he believes that Israel is dragging its feet over this. Well, of course, Israel's dragging its feet over this. There cannot be a state of Palestine because the only purpose of such a state, as the Palestinian leadership has said time and again, often in Arabic, but it is said time and again, the only purpose is a stage. It's part of what they call a strategy of stages to destroy Israel. This whole thing of Palestine recognition, which is now running across the world in country after country, has been is part of a really wildly successful campaign of demonization and delegitimization of Israel going on for many years now, spearheaded by the Palestinian Authority, probably backed by other countries such as, for example, Iran, which has the same kind of aim in mind. But certainly the Palestinian Authority has been going on about this, going on this tack for a very long time. In other words, the Palestinian Authority long ago decided that it could not defeat Israel by conventional military means, and it probably couldn't defeat it by terrorism, although it's having a good go at it the whole time. And every day there are attacks and thwarted attacks going on. So the Palestinian Authority decided that it could achieve its ends through the diplomatic route. It understood that there was a weakness in the West. They hate Israel. They don't like the Jews, and it could play on that. And it could play on international law, which is regarded in the West as a kind of religion. Sir Keir Starmer is, above all, a human rights lawyer. And the Palestinian Authority understood that they could deploy this. They could deploy it through the UN, which is run by or answerable to countries which want Israel gone. And through the UN, which purports to be, you know, the global arbiter of peace and justice, for goodness sake, it's the opposite. It is institutionally programmed to Israel's destruction. And through its satellite agencies, its courts, its whole humanitarian apparatus, the Palestinian Authority has been using that. And recognition of Palestine is a kind of super mega stunt in order to plant in people's minds the idea that there is a state of Palestine, there should be a state of Palestine, and that the only people who are stopping this worthy endeavor is the state of Israel. But the state of Palestine has one purpose only, genocidal, to destroy Israel, to exterminate Jews. And that is what Sir Keir Starmer has now put Britain's shoulder behind. And I'm not surprised that the majority of British people, according to a recent opinion poll, it said 90% of the British people think this is the wrong move at this time to recognize a state of Palestine without conditions, leaving Hamas in power in Gaza without a single hostage being returned, removing any leverage there is over Hamas to end the war, to get rid of all its weapons, to disarm and to remove and to restore the hostages to Israel. It's removed that leverage. So it's not surprising that the British people, who understand humbug when they see it and have a moral sense, are disgusted by this. And that's what Keir Starmer has done. He's, I don't think, you know, if he thinks he's bought himself out of a problem, I think he's actually going to find that he's managed to secure a much bigger problem for himself.
The Australian Prime Minister also unilaterally recognized Palestine on Sunday, and Prime Minister Anthony Albanese mentioned it in his address to the US on Monday. Again, a common theme, the bulk of blame was placed at the feet of Israel for the failure of any of the peace processes.
Right now, Gaza is in the grip of a humanitarian catastrophe, and the Israeli government must accept its share of responsibility. Tens of thousands of civilians have been killed. Desperate people, including children, denied vital aid. Aid workers killed, including Australian Zomi Frankum. Journalists killed trying to bring the truth to light. This comes alongside the continued illegal expansion of settlements on the West Bank and an increase in settler violence. Threats to annex parts of Palestine and permanently displace the Palestinian people. Such conduct risks putting a two-state solution beyond reach. That is where the current road leads. We must choose a different path. We must break this cycle of violence and build something better. Yesterday, Australia recognised the state of Palestine.
Again, one of the stated issues is the settlement of Judea, just as the Bible pointed out. Former Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison was interviewed about the recognition, and this is an excerpt from that interview.
It is a complete reversal of a policy position that had been held on a bipartisan basis for many, many decades. There'd been a great history of that in standing with Israel, and this government has taken the complete opposite path, and I'm just full of disappointment and sadness about it.
Now, the current opposition are saying they would overturn this in government, and that's relevant in this case because no matter how long it takes them to return to government, there won't be a Palestinian state by then, will there? This is a meaningless gesture. The United Nations Security Council won't admit a state of Palestine. It doesn't exist in any real sense, and it won't.
Well, it's fantasy diplomacy. I mean, this is... appeasing various interests in domestic constituencies, and it doesn't actually advance the sort of things that need to be addressed. They sort of want to skip to the end and go, oh, we'll just recognise the state. Well, at the same time, what state? How will that state function? Can it deliver health services, education services? Can it deliver the internal security, let alone the external security? What guarantees are there for its neighbours, in particular Israel, that the events of what occurred on October 7, the worst massacre of Israelis since the Holocaust, would never happen again?
Again, Australia's recognition was unilateral and did not go through the democratically elected parliament. Australia's opposition leader, Sudan Leigh, has stated that if she forms a government, they would withdraw recognition of Palestine. Well, Macron of France, leading the summit on Monday with Saudi Arabia, stated, as we speak, Israel is still expanding its military operations in Gaza with the stated goal of destroying Hamas. However, it is the lives of hundreds of thousands of displaced, wounded, starving, and traumatized people that continue to be destroyed, regardless of the fact that Hamas has been weakened considerably and that negotiations for a lasting ceasefire remain the surest way of securing the hostages' release. He stated, "The time has come. That is why, true to my country's historic commitment in the Middle East, for peace between the Israeli people and the Palestinian people, I declare that France today recognizes the state of Palestine." Well, Trump was not present at Monday's hate festival. He addressed the UN on Tuesday and spoke of the unilateral recognition of a Palestinian state.
As everyone knows, I have also been deeply engaged in seeking a ceasefire in Gaza. Have to get that done. Unfortunately, Hamas has repeatedly rejected reasonable offers to make peace. We can't forget October 7th, can we? Now, as if to encourage continued conflict, some of this body is seeking to unilaterally recognize a Palestinian state. The rewards would be too great for Hamas terrorists for their atrocities. This would be a reward for these horrible atrocities, including October 7th, even while they refuse to release the hostages or accept a ceasefire. Instead of giving to Hamas and giving so much, because they've taken so much, they have taken so much. This could have been solved so long ago. But instead of giving in to Hamas's ransom demands, those who want peace should be united with one message: release the hostages now. Just release the hostages now. Thank you. Thank you. As we have got to come together, and we will come together, going to get it done. We have to stop the war in Gaza immediately. We have to stop it. We have to get it done. We have to negotiate immediately, have to negotiate peace. We got to get the hostages back. We want all 20 back. We don't want 2 and 4. As you know, I got, along with Steve Witkoff and others that helped us, Marco Rubio, we got most of them back. We were involved in all of them. But I always said the last 20 are going to be the hardest, and that's exactly what happened. We have to get them back now. We don't want to get back 2, and then another 2, and then 1, and then 3, have this process. No, we want them all back, and we want the actually 38 dead bodies back too. Those parents came to me, and they want them back, and they want them back very quickly and very badly, as though they were alive. They want them. They want them every bit as much as if their son or daughter were alive.
So there is Trump, leader of the elder young lion nation, pointing out the complete foolishness of the nations that have recognized the terror state of Palestine. The hostages are being still held, and until they are released, it makes no sense to cave into the demand of the terrorists. Well, on Friday, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu took the podium in New York. Netanyahu was the first scheduled speaker, and as he took the podium, the bulk of the delegates filed out of the hall in a visible show of demonstration, fully knowing he was the first speaker. Netanyahu's speech was the longest of those given in the UN. We will pull a few excerpts from it that are well worth taking the time to listen to. He began by decrying the world for forgetting the events of October the 7th.
Ladies and gentlemen, much of the world no longer remembers October 7th. But we remember. Israel remembers October 7th. On October 7th, Hamas carried out the worst attack on Jews since the Holocaust. They slaughtered 1,200 innocent people, including over 40 Americans and foreign nationals from dozens of countries represented here. They beheaded men. They raped women. They burnt babies alive. They burnt babies alive in front of their parents. What monsters. And these monsters took them more than 250 people hostage. And those included Holocaust survivors, grandmothers, grandmothers and their grandchildren. Who takes hostage grandmothers and grandchildren? Hamas does. So far, we've brought home 207 of these hostages, but 48 still remain in the dungeons of Gaza. 20 of them are alive, starved, tortured, deprived of any daylight, deprived of humanity.
Netanyahu then named each of the living hostages and addressed them from the podium at the UN.
I want to speak from this forum directly to those hostages through loudspeakers. I've surrounded Gaza with massive loudspeakers connected to this microphone in the hope that our dear hostages will hear my message. And I'll say it first in Hebrew and then in English. our brave heroes. This is Prime Minister Netanyahu speaking to you live from the United Nations. We have not forgotten you, not even for a second. The people of Israel are with you. We will not falter and we will not rest until we bring all of you home.
He then appealed to the remaining members of Hamas, their captors.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks to special efforts by Israeli intelligence, my words are now also being carried. They're streamed live to the cell phones of Gazans. So to the remaining Hamas leaders and to the jailers of our hostages, I now say, lay down your arms. Let my people go. Free the hostages, all of them, the whole 48. Free the hostages now. If you do, you will live. If you don't, Israel will hunt you down.
He thanked President Trump for the support Israel has received in this past year and the message America sent by bombing Iran. Then he turned to the other world leaders.
But regrettably, many leaders who are represented in this hall, they send a very different message. Sure, in the days immediately following October 7th, many of them supported Israel. But that support quickly evaporated when Israel did what any self-respecting nation would do in the wake of such a savage attack. We fought back. Yet over time, many world leaders buckled. They buckled under the pressure of a biased media, radical Islamist constituencies, and anti-Semitic mobs. There's a familiar saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Well, for many countries here, when the going got tough, you caved. And here's the shameful result of that collapse. For much of the past 2 years, Israel has had to fight a seven-front war against barbarism with many of your nations opposing us. Astoundingly, as we fight the terrorists who murdered many of your citizens, you are fighting us. You condemn us, you embargo us, and you wage political and legal warfare, it's called lawfare, against us. I say to the representatives of those nations, this is not an indictment of Israel. It's an indictment of you. It's an indictment of weak-kneed leaders who appease evil rather than support a nation whose brave soldiers guard you from the barbarians at the gate. They're already penetrating your gates. When will you learn? You can't appease your way out of jihad, and you won't escape the Islamist storm by sacrificing Israel. To overcome that storm, you have to stand with Israel. But that's not what you're doing. As the prophets of Israel foretold in the Bible, you've turned good into evil and evil into good.
Netanyahu spent a fair amount of time analyzing the world's response to Hamas versus its response to Israel, summing it up as such.
So the truth has been turned on its head. Hamas, a genocidal terrorist organization, whose charter calls for the murder of all Jews on the planet. This genocidal organization is given a pass. It's barely mentioned. While Israel, which does everything it can to get civilians out of harm's way, Israel is put in the dock. What a joke.
Finally, he turned his attention to the recognition by world leaders of the Palestinian state.
This week, the leaders of France, Britain, Australia, Canada, and other countries unconditionally recognized a Palestinian state. They did so after the horrors committed by Hamas on October 7th, horrors praised on that day by nearly 90% of the Palestinian population. Now, let me say that again. Nearly 90% of Palestinians supported the attack on October 7th. It's not supported only, they celebrated it. They danced on the rooftops. They threw candies. That's woes both in Gaza and in Judea Samaria, the West Bank, as you call it. And it's just the way they celebrated another horror, 9/11. They danced on the rooftops. They cheered. They threw candy. You know what message the leaders who recognized the Palestinian state this week sent to the Palestinians? It's a very clear message. Murdering Jews pays off. Well, I have a message for these leaders. When the most savage terrorists on earth are effusively praising your decision, you didn't do something right. You did something wrong, horribly wrong. Your disgraceful decision will encourage terrorism against Jews and against innocent people everywhere. It will be a mark of shame on all of you. But wait a minute, Mr. Prime Minister, they tell me. Wait a minute. We believe in a two-state solution where the Jewish state of Israel will live side by side in peace with the Palestinian state. There's only one problem with that. The Palestinians, they don't believe in this solution. They never have. They don't want a state next to Israel. They want a Palestinian state instead of Israel. And that's why every time they were offered a Palestinian state, but were required to end the conflict with Israel and recognize the Jewish state, every time, over the decades, they turned it down. And that is why every time they were given territory, they used it to attack us. In fact, they effectively had a Palestinian state in Gaza. So what did they do with that state? Peace? Coexistence? No. They attacked us time and time again. Totally unprovoked. They fired rockets into our cities. They murdered our children. They turned Gaza into a terror base from which they committed the October 7th massacre. So here's the uncomfortable truth. The persistent Palestinian rejection of a Jewish state in any boundary is what has driven this conflict for over a century. It is still driving it. It's not the absence of a Palestinian state. It's the presence and existence of a Jewish state. And I find it amazing, amazing, that the foreign chancelleries and the ministries and all those who pontificate about this, and the leaders, how can they not see this basic truth when it is repeated again and again and again ad nauseum?
He turned the conversation back to October the 7th and pointed out the insanity of giving a state to those who perpetrated such crimes.
These are the people you want to give a state to? What you're doing is giving the ultimate reward to intolerant fanatics who perpetrated and supported the October 7th massacre. Giving the Palestinians a state 1 mile from Jerusalem after October 7th is like giving Al-Qaeda a state 1 mile from New York City after September 11th. This is sheer madness. It's insane, and we won't do it. So here's another message to those Western leaders. Israel will not allow you to shove a terror state down our throats. We will not commit national suicide because you don't have the guts to face down a hostile media and anti-Semitic mobs demanding Israel's blood. And I want you to grasp something else, which is also distorted in the media. I say this not only in my name or the name of my government, but on behalf of all the people of Israel. Last year, there was a vote in the Knesset, our parliament, whether or not to oppose the imposition of a Palestinian state. You want to guess what the results were? Out of 120 members of our parliament, 99 voted against and only 9 supported. That's over 90%. It's not a fringe group. It's not the prime minister who himself is extreme or he's held hostage by extreme parties to his right. It's over 90% of Israelis. My opposition to a Palestinian state is not simply my policies or my government's policy. It's the policy of the state and people of the state of Israel. Western leaders may have buckled under the pressure. And I guarantee you one thing, Israel won't.
Netanyahu ended with a reminder of the resurrection of the nation of Israel and what that means to the world.
The rise of Israel did not mean that the attempts to destroy us would end. It meant that we could fight back against those attempts. And that is exactly what Israel has done since October 7th. Our sons and daughters fought like lions. Our brave soldiers donned their uniforms and rushed into battle. They were armed with the dreams of the 100 generations of Jews who came before them. The dream of living as a free people in the land of Israel, our beloved homeland for more than 3,000 years. The dreams of living in our own independent state. The dream of having an army to defend ourselves. And the dream of being a light unto the nations, a beacon of progress, ingenuity, innovation for the benefit of all humanity. On October 7th, the enemies of Israel tried to extinguish that light. 2 years later, the resolve of Israel and the strength of Israel burned brighter than ever. With God's help, that strength and that resolve would lead us to a speedy victory and to a brilliant future of prosperity and peace.
Israel stands more or less alone at the moment. However, the angelic host is working with them to bring about the kingdom of God. The words of the prophet Micah come to mind in chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. Now, also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, let our eye look on Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance to the Lord of the whole earth. Well, as the world turns on Israel, including nations like Britain, Canada, and Australia, a resounding message to Jews everywhere is clear. It is time to come home to Israel and remember the words of Isaiah from chapter 11, verses 11 to 12. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will set his hand again, the second time, to recover the remnant of his people which be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The dispersed are the diaspora, a remnant of which is still scattered to the four corners of the earth, including Canada, Britain, Australia, and the United States, and are to be brought home. Perhaps the hostility being experienced is a nudge from the Father to say, it is time to come back to the land. For the Bible in the News, this has been Jonathan Bowen joining you.